College Students Experience. Can I help you?
This is Mr. DeLynn. We're about to go on the air. Is the staff ready?
I don't know. Let me check. Yeah, I think they're ready.
Then let's do another J.E.
Welcome back, everyone, to Pittsburgh's only Jewish radio program. You should know by now that we appreciate each and every one of you taking time from your Shabbos preparations to enjoy a Shabbos attitude adjustment. Hi, I'm Hirsch DeLynn. It's Parshas Mishpatim. Right after Moses comes down off that mountain of Har Sinai, he lays down the law. He starts off what appears to be the easy stuff first, the civil laws that govern all civil society. The problem is we all tend to think that we don't steal and kill and cheat because we know better. But the reality is God commanded us not to do it. That's the real reason, and now you know the rest of the story. And God also reminds us not to imitate the practices of the other nations, staying faithful to Him and remaining a holy nation. Now, we've assembled a whole nation of participants today to get you in the ready for another exciting Shabbat weekend. Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen are back, along with Miss Devorah DeLynn, who will be acting as co-host tonight, while Musical Moish is off on location. Chef Chaim Reiser has cooked up another winner, and you can make it in your own kitchen. We'll have your community announcements and mazel tovs, along with current news, fresh from Israel National Radio, coming up in a half hour. And I'll have some salient comments on the Hamas terrorists running the Arabs in Gaza and the West Bank in today's Candid Comments. The program today is sponsored in part by Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, by Next Generation Financial Services, First Mariner Bank, and by Artistic Photography, when you want to get it right the first time. And they also sponsor the Jewish Experience Radio Program's website, jewishexperienceradio.com. Stop by for a visit and stay for a Jewish experience. Candlelighting time this week is no later than 5:48 p.m. So, Devorah, Miss Co-host, it's just a moment like this that launched your new career segment. I can't wait to hear what great music you have for us.
Well, it's always good to look back on past experiences, see how much you've grown, and, I mean, I hope, you know, I've grown radio-wise, you know. And
you've grown other ways, too.
I hope so. And speaking of looking back, today we're going to be playing some old favorites, starting with Mordechai Ben David and Just One Shabbos.
First time ever there, strapped into his knapsack with his long and curly hair. Stood there for a while and broke out with a smile, emotion, overwhelming joy with tears. The men were dancing there, their hearts so full of love. They sang such happy tunes, thanked the one above, showing them the way, giving them a day to rest, rejoice, peace of mind, pray. Just one Shabbos and we'll all be free. Just one Shabbos, come and join with me. Let's sing and tackle the sky with our spirits so high. Show them all it's true. Let them come and join us too. I said, hello, my friend, seems to be abused. He said, much more than that, I'm a bit confused. I know I am a Jew, I was bar mitzvah too. But Shabbos in our home, whoever knew? He asked to join with us, understand and see. He spent some time with us, total ecstasy. Next Shabbos came along, his feelings grew so strong. First began to feel that he belonged.
Everybody together.
Just one Shabbos and we'll all be free. Just one Shabbos, come and join with me. Let's sing and dance to the sky with our spirit. children and his wife learn new things each day to live the Torah way. The message of the Shabbos they'll relay. Now every Friday night they go down to the wall, invite some people home and they will tell them all. We'll teach you this new song.
That's one of our old favorites, and here's something new from the Belzer Negunim. It's called Adon Olam. It's a really gorgeous, beautiful negun. I hope you enjoy it.
Tirnivu le yai
softly.
That really was a beautiful melody. Adon Olon, the master of the world. And talking about how the master of the world partners with you, here's Rabbi Goldwasser to show you how to partner with God. Rabbi?
This Shabbos, in addition to the Torah from which we will read the weekly portion, we will also take out a second Torah, and we will read Parshas Shkolim. In Parshas Shkolim, we find the command that each Jew give a half shekel contribution to the Holy Temple. The article with which one does the mitzvah must be specifically a half of a coin. Likewise, the obligation to give this donation throughout the succeeding generations is fulfilled by giving a half of a coin. This is also seen from the Rambam, who writes that this mitzvah is carried out today by giving a half of a coin that is in current use. Even if the value of the coin that is used today in one's country is not equal to that of the shekel used in the time of the Holy Temple, one should nevertheless give half of that coin. This concept of giving only half of a complete thing is novel compared to all other matters pertaining to the Holy Temple and matters of holiness in general. For example, the vessels of the temple would sanctify what was inside of them only if they were filled completely to the top. Also, the animals used as sacrifices had to be completely free from any blemishes or defects. What lesson can we learn from the mitzvah of the half of shekel? The mitzvah teaches us that the one who is giving it must know that he is only one half of an entity. In order for him to become complete, a full holy shekel, he must be joined to the other half. One interpretation is that Hashem and us represent the two halves of the holy shekel. By ourselves, we are incomplete. We can only become complete by joining with the one above. This can further be understood in accordance with what is explained in Tanya. A soul is literally a part of godliness. This means that our souls, in fact, are not entities by themselves, at first separated from Hashem, but which can later be bound up with Hashem. Rather, right from the very beginning, each soul is united as one with Hashem. When we fulfill the mitzvah of the half shekel, this produces within us a revelation of the godly soul that arouses within us the feeling that we are grossly incomplete. This stirs up within us a desire and longing to be united with our other half, Hashem. One further point. When one realizes that despite everything he accomplishes, an individual is only partially responsible. As much as he is going to serve Hashem with all of his strength and all of his capabilities, it will add up only to a half. If Hashem would not help him, he would not be able to overcome the forces of evil, and he would not be able to accomplish anything. Hashem gives the person the necessary talents and capabilities so that he should be able to serve him. Nevertheless, Hashem rewards us for each mitzvah that we do. We thus see that in truth, not only can we not be successful without Hashem's help, but even the half that we do is possible only because Hashem provides us with the ability to do so.
All around us, life is moving faster and faster. Things are changing all the time, and it's a comfort to know in your time of need that at Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, the Jewish tradition continues. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home has served the Pittsburgh Jewish community since 1947 and has recently remodeled its entire facility to better serve you. Burton Hirsch Funeral Directors are members of the Jewish Funeral Directors Association and work closely with area rabbis to ensure that your needs as a Jewish family are totally met. Their attentive and compassionate guidance results in treating each family as their own. I personally met with Michael Hilgefort. And did you know that Burton Hirsch Funeral Home is even involved with community educational programs to ensure that Jewish families know what to do to have a proper burial? In your time of special need, call Squirrel Hill's only Jewish funeral home, Burton Hirsch, at 412-521-2600. That's 412-521-2600. They welcome your request to visit and tour their state-of-the-art facilities. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, proud sponsors of the Jewish Experience, 412-521-2600. 521-2600. By the way, if you're over 62 and you own your own home, find out how you can get money from your home without having to ever pay it back as long as you live in that home. Call 412-562-2220. Get tax-free money now by calling 412-562-2220 to participate in a government-sponsored home equity conversion. First Mariner Bank, an equal opportunity lender.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read the Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now for the Forward, 800-992-3333. That's 800-992-3333.
And now let's bring up the tempo a bit and strengthen our belief with Mordechai Ben David's Anachnu Ma'aminim.
Anachnu Ma'aminim Bnei Ma'aminim.
Shema. tach bashem yezrom moginom ho Yisruin betach bashem yezrom moginom ho Yisruin betach bashem yezrom moginom ho Anachnu maminu ne'maminim ve'ein lanu amin ve'ishoreh
Now in his continuing and concluding series on immigration, hope you've heard the first four series, here's number five with the author of Miraculous Journey, Rabbi Yosef Eisen.
Immigration to America, Part 5. A fourth reason Orthodoxy was at such a great disadvantage in the United States was the pressure to Americanize. All immigrants, Jewish and non-Jewish alike, faced great pressure to enter the melting pot and become full-fledged Americans. This message was constantly hammered home, especially to impressionable young children in the public schools. Fathers and mothers no longer dreamed of seeing their children become Torah scholars, for that was considered un-American. Consequently, Jewish parents especially aspired that their children get a good secular education in order to become doctors, lawyers, and other professionals. Fifth, the pressures of earning a living. American society extolled making money as the supreme virtue to which one should aspire. A guidebook for immigrant Jews gave this advice. Hold fast. This is most necessary in America. Forget your past, your customs, and your ideals. Select a goal and pursue it with all your might. No matter what happens to you, hold on. You will experience a bad time, but sooner or later you will achieve your goal. A bit of advice for you. Do not take a moment's rest. Run, do work, and keep your own good in mind. As the historian Lucy Davidowitz points out, the freedom to make money became an obsession for some. It was an end in itself. It began with a good purpose to raise the children decently, to keep them out of the sweatshops if possible, and to lay aside funds for their education and for old age. But in the process of scrambling for money, family life was neglected, community was disregarded, and tradition was abandoned. Sixth, working on the Sabbath. This was the worst of all the spiritual tests that Jews coming to America had to face, and it caused wholesale defections from Torah observance. It was extremely difficult to find a job that did not entail working on the Sabbath. When an employee left for Friday, he was told, "If you don't come in on Saturday, don't bother coming in on Monday." Fired workers were put on a blacklist, so that finding a new job was next to impossible. Seeing their family starving and freezing broke the spirits of many Jews, and they succumbed to this most difficult of ordeals. At first they worked on the Sabbath with great reluctance, but as time wore on they became accustomed to the state of affairs in accordance with the Talmudic statement that a sin repeated becomes permissible in the perpetrator's eyes. As Sabbath observance is one of the major tenets of Judaism and the foundation of family life, its violation opened a proverbial Pandora's box. Abandonment of other mitzvos rapidly followed, and the next generation, growing up without a remembrance of observant life, drifted farther away from Judaism. As American Jewry's connection to Torah Judaism became more and more tenuous, the intermarriage rate skyrocketed from nearly zero in the immigrant generation to more than 60% today.
Now, from the largest independent news organization in the Middle East, here's Ernie Singer with Israel National News.
The Gaza Strip explosive to close out the week. One terrorist killed, two others wounded when an explosive, believed to be a hand grenade, went off in the Zeitoun neighborhood of Gaza City. The Israeli Air Force blowing up a car with terrorists on their way to launch Qassam rockets. The car and its cargo of rockets destroyed, but the terrorists got away. Israeli artillery also aimed at terrorist targets in the northern Gaza Strip in response to a number of Qassams launched at the western Negev this past week. One or two terrorists shot to death while trying to plant a bomb near the security fence in the Kisufim area of the eastern Gaza Strip. One accomplice captured, another escaped. Security authorities report that the Karni crossing, the main commercial crossing for goods into and out of Gaza, will remain closed indefinitely, indicating the current status will continue at least for the next few days. Karni was closed this past week in response to intelligence community terror alerts. PLO officials continue to call on Israel to open the crossing, claiming the closure is strangling residents and business people. Israeli officials pointing out that despite the closure, humanitarian assistance continues to flow via the crossing to ensure innocent Arabs in the PLO-assigned areas are not compelled to endure undue hardships. Schools and kindergartens in the western Negev town of Steyr Road still lacking protection against Qassam attacks, while the city's mayor, Eli Moyal, exchanges accusations with the national government. Moyal insisting that the funding for completing the protective measures for schools and daycare centers is being held up, while government officials insist the 11 million shekels budgeted for the protection has been allocated and transferred, but that Moyal does not approve of the plan and is preventing progress in carrying out the work. The Haaretz Daily says that the Hamas terror organization is providing assistance to other groups involved in the Qassam attacks while not involved in the actual launches itself. 130 strikes reported in January, more than twice the 64 that landed in December. United States Undersecretary of State for Near Eastern Affairs C. David Welch landing in Israel, marking the first arrival of a senior U.S. official since Hamas's sweeping victory in January's PLO legislative election. Welch meeting both with Acting Prime Minister Ehud Olmert and PLO leader Mahmoud Abbas to discuss new regional realities as Hamas prepares to build the next PLO government. The Jerusalem Post says that voices are being raised in the Quartet of Nations, arguing that the cutoff date by which Hamas must accept certain preconditions or face international isolation is flexible and not necessarily the day a Hamas government is formed. One Western diplomatic official says that among the questions that the Quartet principals are dealing with now is what will happen if Hamas is to make some move toward recognizing Israel and continue to abide by a ceasefire, but not go all the way toward full-throated recognition of Israel or committing itself to nonviolence. The Knesset Commission of Inquiry into the violence surrounding the demolition of 9 homes in the Jewish community of Amona, north of Jerusalem, getting to work this coming week. Acting Prime Minister Olmert says that while he regrets what happened, the government he heads will disband the commission after the elections at the end of March. A protest vigil held Friday outside the home of Central District Commander Major General Yair Naveh, the highest-ranking officer in charge of both the Amona destruction and the expulsion of Jews from northern Samaria last summer. Anti-expulsion victims and activists blaming Naveh for his senior role in forcibly removing Jews from their homes in compliance with government orders. Police who took part in the demolition of the homes in Amona meeting this past week with Gush Etzion Regional Council Head Shaul Goldstein and representatives of the public, the sides agreeing to continue the dialogue, which they hope will include youth who comprised many of the protesters at Amona. The Yesha Human Rights Organization has called on Police Chief Moshe Karadi to immediately suspend Jerusalem Police Superintendent Yechiel Amsalem. A complaint has been submitted to the Police Investigation Unit against Amsalem for allegedly beating a young woman during an anti-disengagement demonstration last May. According to the complaint, he also beat other people. David Irving is not expected to serve all of the 3 years in an Austrian jail on his plea of guilty to Holocaust denial. The British academic has conceded the murder of millions of Jews during World War II, but he does not like the term Holocaust. Professor Deborah Lipstadt of Emory University in Atlanta discusses the case on the Tovia Singer Show on the internet at IsraelNationalRadio.com. Shabbat, Kaf Zayin, the 27th day of Shvat on the Jewish calendar, and the weather forecast, clear to partly cloudy and warmer than usual through Monday, with strong easterly winds bringing haze Friday evening. Temperatures dropping on Shabbat with no significant change Sunday or Monday. In Jerusalem on Friday, 22 degrees centigrade, 72 Fahrenheit. Ernie Singer, Israel National Radio.
And we want to wish our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land a very peaceful and restful Shabbat.
And boy, it's Mazel Tov time in the Pittsburgh City. Mr. and Mrs. Steve Sokol, once again, another simcha on the engagement of their son Ronan to Lelu Przanski of Lakewood, New Jersey.
Mazel Tov.
Ruth Snyder on the birth of her great-granddaughter, Maya Alana.
Big Mazel Tov.
Irving Blumenfeld on his special birthday.
Mazel Tov and Simitov.
Mr. and Mrs. Yaakov Bolotin on the birth of a daughter.
Mazel Tov.
Mr. and Mrs. Dov Baranadich on the birth of a daughter.
Mazel Tov.
And the cycles continue and the time just keeps rolling by. And Mr. and Mrs. Mordechai Epstein on the upcoming marriage of their daughter, Nechama Leah.
Mazel Tov, Nechama Leah.
All right, let's take a look at events around the city. All high school age girls, grades 9 to 12, are invited to join the next girls group meeting Sunday, March 5th from 7 to 8:30 at Young Israel, 5831 Bartlett Street. Come and bring a friend for some fun activities, snacks, and a bit of learning, too. For more information, please call Marlene Ross at 412-422-1336. Dr. Neil and Phyllis Nissel will be honored at the Kollel Jewish Learning Center's annual Malava Malka Dinner, March 4th, 8:45 p.m. at the Jewish Community Center in Squirrel Hill. Tickets are still available. Call 412-420-0220. And on March 3rd, Shabbat Across America, that's this Shabbos, there'll be a dinner at 7 p.m. If your local synagogue's doing it, you should know about it, so give them a call. Rabbi Langer will conduct a class free and open to the community, Insights into the Book of Esther, at Polyzetic Education Building. It's Mondays at 7 p.m. It's had 1 week, it's already started. It'll be going on for another 2 weeks. And Yeshiva Girls High School production, March 6th and 7th, entitled Shalom Song. It's an inspiring story of hope and determination. For ticket information, call 412-422-7300, extension 1311. The Judaic Library of Lubavitch Center is open to the public on Sundays, 12 to 4:30 p.m., Wednesdays, 3 to 4, and 7 to 8 p.m., and after Shabbat is over for 2 hours, stop in and check out a book or two, and you can use the extensive research volumes available. The meeting of Food Addicts in Recovery Anonymous meets at the Aleph Institute every Sunday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. And the program's a recovery group for people who cannot control their eating and are their weight. For more information, call Ilana at 412-422-2224. If you'd like to have your Mazel Tovs on our program, please call 412-979-5770, or you can email jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. And don't forget, candlelighting time this week, still climbing up there no later than 5:48 p.m. Welcome to another edition of Candid Comments. I'm Hirsch DeLynn. Well, Hamas says, we'll nuke you. Israel says, we'll keep paying you. 56% of Palestinians support suicide bombings against Israeli civilians. This disproves the they voted for Hamas despite their genocidal platform mantra. That's you've been following that on a Hamas website. Now there's an animated graphic of a Star of David being destroyed in a nuclear mushroom cloud. The old rules are gone. The fear of mutually assured destruction does not work with a religion increasingly devoted to suicide martyrdom. You know, as I've been saying before, the purpose of suicide bombings has been primarily to increase public support for the mass Muslim WMD death that Muslims have been planning. Meanwhile, Olmert and Kadima have announced they're no longer paying the PA now that it's being run by Hamas. You know, that's a temporary decision, and it was made at the end of an election campaign in which the Israeli public clearly favored the move. But the announcement's false, however, for several reasons. Israel's still providing massive aid to the Palestinians in the form of services that are never paid for, such as electricity, fuel, water, medical treatment, as well as systematic theft from Israel on a mass scale, including open counterfeiting operations. Money for the Palestinian Authority still being placed in escrow, meaning that the funds are being paid by Israel, not available to Israel in the future, and are legally intended for use by the Palestinian Authority. And regarding humanitarian payments, Israel has announced that they'll still be made, despite the overwhelming evidence that these payments in the past have been stolen and have been used for terror. The universally reported impending bankruptcy of the PA, a manufactured cover for Israel in the West to save face while continuing to transfer money, is in itself a fraud. Not too long ago, the control of billions of dollars in PA funds was a major news story. That was, of course, the time of the death of Arafat. Of course, enormous funds were transferred to the PA, which still exist, along with massive sources of non-liquid assets that have been extensively documented. You know something? Stay tuned, stay aware, stay vigilant. This has been Hirsch DeLynn for Candid Comments. If you've got any comments you'd like to send us, you can write us at jewishexperience@verizon.net. See you next week.
People and nations are striving to create a world of goodness and kindness. A blueprint exists for a better world. Thousands of years ago, the human race was given a plan for a quality life. There are 7 universal laws to follow, known as the laws of Noah. These universal truths include: believe in God, honor God, do not murder, do not commit adultery or incest, do not steal, avoid cruelty to animals, establish courts of justice.
Kostove chokhmon Vesoiras chesed al shoyimon Tzoyfiyot, tzoyfiyot Halichois leisor Velechem matlus lois oichlei Piyo kostove chokhmon Soy rasqeseda le shoyino Soy fiyo, soy fiyo Ali chois leiso Velechem atlus lo iso yichle
Oh, yeah, she's high, I'm in the soy uno. Soy fío, al hijo es briso, belefe matlus loy soy jle.
Just heard Pia Puscha by Oif Simchas, which speaks about the wisdom of women. And right on time, here's the J.E.'s resident woman of wisdom, Ms. Devorah DeLynn.
There are three categories in which all the laws of the Torah fall under. They are called Chukim, Eidos, and Mishpatim. Chukim are laws that we do not understand the reasoning behind, such as the laws of keeping kosher. Eidos are laws that were given in order to commemorate an event. For example, on Shabbos we commemorate that Hashem rested after working for 6 days, so Shabbos falls under the Eidos class. Mishpatim are laws that we can understand on a certain level, and we think we understand the reasoning behind it. For example, the prohibitions of killing and stealing fall under the Mishpatim category, because it's logical that God would not want us to hurt our fellow creatures. But the real reason we follow these laws are because God said so, not because of our own reasoning. This week's Torah portion deals with the category of Mishpatim, and is in fact called Parshas Mishpatim. This week, we learn about all sorts of laws that Hashem told to the Jews after their acceptance of the Torah in the previous Parsha. Many of the laws discussed pertain to proper conduct between man and his friend. One of the most intriguing issues discussed, and that the Gemara goes into great detail over, is the issue of the watchman. The scenario goes as follows. If a man gave money or possessions to his friend to watch, and they were stolen from the friend's house, when the thief is found, he must pay double the amount in question. If the thief is not found, then the watchman has to swear that he didn't steal the object, and the passage goes on. The Gemara in Bava Metzia goes into great detail over the circumstances of the watchman and the object, but the Chasam Sofer brings a very interesting idea to light. He suggests that this particular case can be transformed into a mashal, an allegory that can teach us a lot about our reward for serving Hashem. Hashem entrusts to us a body to fulfill our spiritual and physical needs, and it is our duty to guard this body and use it the right way. If we abuse our potential, it is as if we are stealing from Hashem. If a person persists in wasting his potential, he suffers retribution doubly for this act. On the other hand, if a person does teshuva after his sin and uses his gifts in order to serve Hashem in the best way possible, he comes closer to Hashem. In the parable, the spiritual and physical needs are compared to the money or possessions that the watchman is entrusted with. The one who abuses his potential is compared to the thief, and he has to suffer doubly, just as a thief has to pay double. The quote, thief who repents, is compared to the thief that isn't found. Why? When one has committed a sin, realizes it, and does a complete teshuva, he becomes even closer to Hashem than before he committed the sin. Therefore, if one looked at him, they wouldn't find a thief. They would only see a person who had worked on himself to achieve the ultimate in his service to Hashem. Have a good Shabbos. Of listening to our old favorites, that was V'Hayah Machanecha Kadosh by the Miami Boys Choir.
By the way, if you're over 62 and you own your own home, find out how you can get money from your home without having to ever pay it back as long as you live in that home. Call 412-562-2220. Get tax-free money now by calling 412-562-2220 to participate in a government-sponsored home equity conversion. First Mariner Bank, an equal opportunity lender.
Now, Deborah, I'm in the mood for some...
And the only place to get something like that is to turn to the Prince of Gastronomic Delights.
Here he is, Chef Chaim Reisner, and you can find out more about his recipes at chaimskosherkitchen.com. Chaim?
Thanks, Hirsch and Mosh. For this week, Parsha Mishpatim, I thought we would prepare turkey noodle soup with vegetables. It's relatively inexpensive and serves a lot of people, and it's really good when you have it hot during the cold weather. So to prepare, you're going to need the following. 2/4 of a dark meat turkey, as you can purchase now from your local kosher market. 3 stalks of washed celery. 4 whole carrots peeled. 1 large parsnip peeled. 1/2 rutabaga peeled. 1 whole large onion peel left on. 1 handful of parsley. 1/2 of green bell pepper peeled. 6 whole peppercorns, either white or black. 1 clove unpeeled garlic. And 1 very large tablespoon of kosher salt. 7 quarts of water. And the noodles, I like to use the halushkas noodles, big wide noodles, cooked al dente. So to prepare, you're going to need 1 8-quart pot with a lid. Place the turkey in the bottom of the pot. Add all of the vegetables and then all the spices. Add the 7 quarts of water. You're going to bring this to a boil and then down to a simmer and let it simmer for at least 3 hours. Sometimes I let it go for 4 or 4.5 hours. While that's happening, you take your bag of halushkas noodles, prepare them as per the package, and rinse them and let them set aside. When the soup is completed, you'll serve out the liquid into bowls, then some of the turkey meat, cut up some of the vegetables, put them in the bowl, add the noodles to it, and I like to microwave that and serve it right away. And that's all there is to it. And guess what, Hirsch and Moish? You made it. Have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos. See you next week.
Now here's Rabbi Goldwasser back to teach us that you have to follow your own Avodas Hashem in your own way. Rabbi?
There once lived 2 neighbors, a Torah scholar and an impoverished laborer. The scholar would wake before dawn, rush to the study hall, and study for several hours. He would then pray at length and with great devotion, hurry home for a quick bite of breakfast, and return to the study hall for more hours of study. After the noon meal, he would go to the market and engage in some minimal dealings, just enough to earn him his basic needs, then back to the study hall. After the evening prayers and the evening meal, he would again sit over the sacred books till late into the night. His neighbor would also wake early, but his situation did not allow for much Torah study. No matter how hard he struggled to earn a living, he barely succeeded in putting bread on the table. He would pray quickly with the first minyan at daybreak, and then his labor would consume his entire day and the greater part of his night. On Shabbos, when he finally had the opportunity to take a book in his hands, he would soon drop off from exhaustion. When the 2 neighbors would pass each other in the yard, the scholar would throw the crass materialist a look of contempt and hurry on to his holy pursuits. The poor laborer would sigh and think to himself, "How unfortunate is my lot, and how fortunate is his. We are both hurrying, but he's rushing to the study hall, while I'm off to my mundane burdens." Then it came to pass that the 2 men concluded their sojourn on earth, and their souls stood before the heavenly court, where the life of every man is weighed upon the balanced scales of divine judgment. An advocate angel placed the scholar's many virtues in the right cup of the balance scales. His many hours of Torah study, his meditative prayers, his honesty, But then came the prosecuting angel and placed a single object on the other side of the scales, the look of contempt that the scholar would occasionally send his neighbor's way. Slowly the left side of the scales began to dip until it equaled and then exceeded the formidable load on the right. When the poor laborer came before the heavenly court, the prosecutor loaded his spiritually void life on the left scales. The advocating angel, on the other hand, had but one weight to offer, the sorrowful sigh the laborer would emit when he encountered his learned neighbor. But when placed on the right side of the scales, the sigh counterweighted everything on the negative side, lifting and validating every moment of hardship and misery in the laborer's life. This is Rabbi Meir Goldwasser wishing you all a good Shabbos.
We put the wraps on another Jewish Experience radio program. A few reminders. All high school age girls are invited to join the next girls group meeting Sunday, March 5th from 7 to 8:30 at Young Israel on Bartlett Street. You can call Marlene Ross at 412-422-1336. Don't forget, Dr. Neil and Phyllis Niss will be honored at the Kollel Jewish Learning Center's annual Malava Malka. Call 412-420-0220 for more information on that. Also, this Shabbos, Shabbat Across America, call your local synagogue for information. Rabbi Langer will conduct a class free and open to the community, Insights into the Book of Esther. That's Mondays at 7 p.m. for another 2 weeks at Polyzetic. Shiva Girls High School production coming up March 6th to 7th, Sholem Song. Call 412-422-7300, extension 1311 for tickets. The Jake Library, Lubavitch Center, is open to the public. You can stop in and check out a book. And don't forget to use the extensive research volumes available there. Meeting of Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous, Aleph Institute, every Sunday evening from 7 to 8:30. Call Lana, 412-422-2224. And don't forget to call us if you'd like to have your Mazel Tovs on our program at 412-979-5770. Or you can email us at jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. And I'd like to certainly thank our special co-host today, Deborah DeLynn, and glad to have her back with us as Uncle Mwishi is on location. He'll be back with us next week. And our faithful cutting-edge staff, always, always, always with us, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, and Dr. Michael Shulman, Chef Chaim Reisner, and our engineer, once again, hanging in there, tough, Jeremy Bossy, for another outstanding show. Don't forget, candlelighting time this week is no later than 5:48 p.m. Until next week, I'm Hirsch DeLynn. Have a wonderful and restful Shabbat. Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat.